This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
How about doing ENN then?
This is ENN, don't you know?
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Well, yeah, but what do I care about underwear trends? That's right. Oh, no.
I don't know what happened.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to ENN on a Friday, and it's going to be a good one, I'll tell you right now. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael King.
I'm doing it. Back to bleep off. I'm doing it.
Man, he had another thing he said in the first segment, RJ, and I meant to bother you about it afterwards.
Segment of the show?
Yeah. You said something that was so droppy. It was just special. But it was kind of hard to hear. You'd have to really be... I heard it, though. And it
Did
was
you
special.
Ever get the drop that I asked you, RJ, on Peter? Oh, let me play this one for you. I think you're going to enjoy this, Peter.
Good evening, Peter.
Good evening, Peter.
What do you expect him to do on my lap? Really? What do you expect him to do on my lap? An innocent thing about my dog. What do you expect him to do on my lap? I'd like to say
an innocent thing about liking a lot of guys, and look what happened.
I like a lot of guys.
It was perfectly innocent.
Good evening to Don, by the way.
I had to finish Nicholas Lidstrom's book before I can start Emmerich's book.
See?
It always works. Whenever Peter asks for it, it works.
Whenever it's Don saying something so hockey, like, what was the one? There's one about, like, you know, I follow Pavel Bure or whatever you said.
I'd love to sit down and talk to Owen Nolan.
Yesterday, someone gave me as a little gift here from a thrift shop, two random bags of cards, baseball cards. One of basketball, one of baseball. I'm going to play a game called Name the Cards Until There's a Player Michael and Don Do Not Know.
Go ahead. This could be fun.
These are from 1988. These are 88 tops to start. Lee Smith.
Of course. He gave up the home run to Steve Garvey in 84. Right, Michael?
The Reds leaders card, it doesn't say who they are. But I'll tell you this. One of them, do you guys remember the movie? What was the movie about the Elephant Man? Or the Mask? You remember the Mask?
Oh, the Elephant Man.
Yeah.
What was the Mask?
With Mask. Cher and Eric Stoltz?
Yeah. I don't know who this is. You guys tell me. But you tell me this isn't that movie. You guys will see it shortly. All right, we said Lee Smith. Lee Mazzilli.
Of course. Yeah, I think we know Lee Mazzilli.
That's Mask.
I think so. Here's a tough one. How about this one? Lloyd Mosby.
No,
oh, sure.
Blue Jays.
He was a Blue Jay.
Willie Upshaw.
Yes.
I don't
Kelly
know
Gruber.
That guy in the Reds is. Yes, we know Kelly Gruber, too.
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's John Franco next to him.
The great Jeff Musselman.
Sure.
Yeah. He's also
Leon Roberts.
Yep, sure.
Ken Macha.
Macha, yeah.
Oh, my God. John Cerruti.
Sure.
Yes.
Good guy, too.
Buck Martinez.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
All right. I know these ones. Rick Leach.
Yeah.
George Bell.
Yeah.
Jorge.
With a J, right?
Started out as Jorge Bell.
Then I have three Jimmy Keys. Very important card. Jesse Barfield.
Yeah, of course.
You have a lot of Blue Jays there. Can we move
on? Blue Jay stack. Rob Ducey.
Yeah, sure.
Jerry Garvin.
Oh, I love Jerry Garvin. Male prostitute.
So you don't know him?
No, of course I do. And that was a Dan Aykroyd skit on the old Saturday Night Live. Remember that, Don?
Yes, I do.
Don, you know Jerry Garvin?
A guy with
not know Jerry Garvin.
All right, we'll stop here then.
A guy with a pocket protector and big, thick horn-rimmed glasses before they were cool. And he'd come and he goes, I'm Fred Garvin, male prostitute. It was very funny. You have to see it.
I'll tell you what. This card, this beauty from 1981, this Alfredo Griffin... This is a 1981 gentleman, if I've ever seen one. The sideburns. You know Alfredo Griffin?
Yes.
Of course.
Can we move on? This is insulting.
I think it was a lot of fun. Let's hear from Kyle Shanahan about last night's debacle between the Niners and the Packers and the injuries. that are just too much for this 49er football team?
The start of the week, it was going to be a challenge. And then losing those three guys yesterday was obviously a bigger challenge. But, you know, I still thought we could have a game and still thought we could play better than we did tonight. And, you know, being down like that and not being at our best and going against a good team like that, usually that's usually what happens. But I know we could have done better.
And they did not do well. It ended up 34-17, guys. It was much uglier than that. Started out 34-3. They were never in the game. It was exactly what Aaron Rodgers and the Packers needed after dropping 2 of 3. And let's hear from Davante Adams, who was asked if he could be the best receiver in the game.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think that's not being conceited. That's just being confident. I think you know, obviously what I've done and what I'm going to continue to do is going to prove that. To anybody who isn't on board with that. But I truly believe that just based off of the work that I put in. At the end of the day, I'll tell you, yes, absolutely. I think I'm the best wide receiver in the game. But there's a lot of things that go into me being able to make that statement.
Now, he's got 675 yards and leads the league in receiving touchdowns at 8. He's certainly in the conversation, guys, for best receiver in football. And if it makes you feel any better, Mark Ballard certainly believes he's the best receiver in football. He texted me so last night. He had like 175 yards and a touch. But it made me pull up the list, guys, of the top receivers in football, right?
Okay.
And there's a purpose here. Number one, let's go by what's the number you like most for determining the best? I go receiving yards. You have a preference?
I mean, if you're looking for a guy who can run with it, you're like, you know, yak, yards after the catch. But I would say the amount of catches.
You want to go catches? All right.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're there for your quarterback. You're bailing him out. If you get 100 catches, that's amazing.
And then targets are also important, too.
All right, well, let's go catches.
Targets don't mean you're good. You could be targeted and not catch the ball.
Well, so let's go catches, and I'll mention their yardage, too, because this is interesting. DeAndre is number one. And to me, he's right when I heard Devontae and Ballard say Devontae is number one, the name that pops into my head is like, slow down, pal. There's DeAndre Hopkins, who has 57 receptions, 700 yards. Number two, Alvin Kamara. Obviously, different position, but 55 sure. receptions and 556 yards. Stephon Diggs heads to Buffalo and has 54 catches for 695. And that pops into your head when you think about moves that can be made during an off season and how much an impact someone can have.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Tay Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, because they said everybody.
Amari, 54 for 588. Tyler Boyd, 54 for 584. Keenan Allen, 53. Devontae's right there at 53 for 675. And guess who's next at 51 receptions for 688 yards? More receiving yards than Devontae. Robbie Anderson.
Yeah. I misjudge Robbie Anderson, according to Joe Douglas.
51 for 688. Guys, did any of you, though, think that at any point he would be, and if you look by yardage, he is third overall receiving yards.
No, I didn't.
Did anyone think he was that good?
But he is. He's reunited with the coach that gave him a shot in college. I mean, there's definitely something there between he and Matt Rhule. So he was going to a place of comfort for sure.
Only one touchdown. DeAndre has 3. Stephon has 3. DK Metcalf has 680 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Don, but I have news. I have breaking news that will impact your life.
Me?
No, Don.
Go ahead.
The Yankee minor leagues have a major shakeup. No more Trenton Thunder or Staten Island Yankees. Their new affiliates will be the Hudson Valley Renegades and
the Somerset Patriots.
Somerset Patriots.
Wow.
That's a big getaway for Don in the summer.
Big, big deal.
I missed it this year because they did play some like exhibition games or whatever with social distancing and all that. But that's a good time. That's a great ballpark. I don't know if either of you have ever been there. And they've been independent in the 20 years that they've been associated with the team. But I guess they always had some sort of a relationship, Michael. Because remember,
I think their owner knew the Yankees.
And Sparky Lyle was their president.
It's like being single, right, for 100 years, and then you end up marrying Sophia Loren. That's what the Patriots just did.
So where is this going to – they'll stay in the same league, or will they –
No, I don't know. I guess it's going to be either their double A or the A ball affiliate. I don't know if they'll replace Staten Island or Trenton. So Trenton was their double A. How close is Somerset to Trenton?
30 minutes.
Maybe it's going to be their double A.
That would be something. The tickets will be more expensive, I'm sure.
And you'll get to see maybe Jason Dominguez at some point.
It is a good time. Minor league baseball is fun, man. And it's a good time, and the tickets are usually very inexpensive.
I feel sorry for the people of Staten Island, because that ballpark was supposed to be top flight. Gorgeous. Greatest view in the world.
So I wonder what the logic is.
I don't know. And from what I remember, the Yankees own the Staten Island affiliate. Like the Mets own the Brooklyn Cyclones.
This just in, some breaking news also. 56% of those polled say they love Rosenberg Radio's breakdown.
That's not enough.
Of NFL
announcers. That means you're alienating 44% of your audience.
But it's actually better than R.J. Bell and what he works, the percentage he works at.
It's a great, great point.
Listen, you're fabulous, okay? Nobody's going to take that away from you. You're immensely talented. The name of the show. But can you at least admit that you don't exactly have the pulse of our listeners?
I think I do. I really believe I do. I do not want a topic that only 50% of the audience likes.
No, it's 56. And it'll go on.
It's not. If it was overwhelming, I'd back down. You know, I was wrong. I'm not wrong. I'm right. 44% abhor it.
But you know,
we don't know that.
We
don't know they abhor it.
Right. And 30% of them are trying to kiss up to you because they're Yankees sycophants. Don, you know I'm right.
They'll listen.
RJ,
those 44 will listen.
RJ, hit the music. It's coming. Sunday, November 8th, baby. 1 p.m. A game.
My dad would have been 83.
Happy 83rd birthday, Mr. LaGreca. A game with major implication for Michael K. Denver at Atlanta. CBS on the call, Greg Gumbel, Rich Gannon, Jay Feely, and if you want to watch in Spanish, Halim Zadat.
All right.
I prefer in Spanish. Seattle at Buffalo, another game with major implications for our picks. Don, you love Seattle minus 2.5. Well, guess what? You'll get to enjoy this game with the sweet sounds of Chris Myers, Brock Ward. Brock Huard, Brock Huard, and Jennifer Hale.
Can you tell them how to pronounce that name, Don?
I never.
Brock Huard.
Brock Huard. Yeah. I've never said it right. Known him for years. Always said it wrong.
Really?
Yeah. He was Bumma Jace, but I never quite could read his name right. I admit it. I'm flawed. Baltimore Ravens at the Indianapolis Colts. If you thought about it for 5 seconds on CBS, you know who's on this game. It makes sense. When I say it, you're going to go, oh, yeah, of course he's on that game. That's who's on that game. Of course.
Ian Eagle?
That's right! Ian Eagle, Charles Davis, and Evan Washburn on the sidelines. The Texans and the Jaguars.
I hope you run into Evan Washburn one day and he beats your head in.
Just because I say Evan Washburn!
Because you're making him out to be Joe Announcer. He happens to be very talented with a great head of hair.
By the way, so what's wrong with being Joe Announcer?
But that's he's not that fake kind of announcer.
But he's just very Evan Washburn.
Yeah.
Again, I hope that you run into him one day and he bashes your skull in.
Oh, that way, you know,
I think what
I got
to
tell you,
say is
what a bad guy.
He's not
you
a
are.
Great announcer. He is a great announcer. But what Peter is saying, he is vanilla flavored vanilla.
He's not, though. He's not.
He is, Michael. You know, not everyone can be great. Some people are real. Not in that. He is great. Not everybody can be dynamic. He's a solid reporter.
So he's not Francisco Lindor.
Exactly.
He's more DJ LeMahieu is what you're saying.
That's exactly right. And
well,
LeMahieu's
you know what?
Incredible.
LeMahieu won a batting title and might win the MVP. So you go, Evan.
Well, guess what? So might Washburn.
Yeah.
God, don't try to make me a bad guy.
You are a bad guy. You've attacked Washburn week after week. You're going to do
why
this
do you
segment.
Call him an attack?
I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you out on it.
Don, like, how was it an attack?
You're beating him up with a pillow.
Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars on CBS. The announcers, Spiro Dinis, Adam Archuleta, and Jerry Olaya is your Spanish language announcer. The Panthers and the Chiefs on Fox, our guy, Kevin Burkhardt, play-by-play, Daryl Moose Johnston, and
that's
Pam
not a Joe
Oliver.
Buck vehicle? Wow.
No, no, no. We'll get there. Detroit and Minnesota, a game that Don will not be watching because on the call, the guy is drunk! Kevin Harlan, along Trent Green and Melanie Collins. The game everyone's excited about, Chicago and Tennessee. A game of this level, you have to send an icon. And that's why they're sending Dick Stockton out to Tennessee, along with Greg Jennings and Laura Oakman. Giants, Washington, you guys know who has this game. There's only one man for a game like this. And you know who he is.
Sam Rosen.
Here's a hint. It'll probably be his sixth game of that weekend.
Kenny Albert.
That's right. Kenny Albert, Jonathan Vilma, and Shannon Spake. 4:05, you have the Raiders and Chargers, Joe Davis, Mark Schlereth, and Pepe Mantilla. And then the 425ers.
Are you making up these Spanish language names?
No. Are Pepe you? No, Pepe Mantilla is.
You're a liar.
I swear to God.
You don't
by
swear.
The way,
he can't
by the way,
keep a straight face.
By the way, if you just defended Evan Washburn, don't you dare attack Pepe Mantilla.
I'm not. If I knew who Pepe Mantilla was, I wouldn't attack. I think you're making things up.
I am not. I just keep. Some of the games have two, and then some list three. Pepe Mantilla was listed, so I assumed it was the sideline reporter. It's actually the Spanish language. It is Pepe Mantilla, okay?
Okay.
I'm a big fan. Andrew Catalan, James Lofton, and Michael Grady will have the Dolphins and the Cardinals at 425.
By the way, Grady aced his debut last week. Aced it.
Really? Was he really good?
He's great. The guy is great at whatever he does. A Yes Jim, Network product.
Jim Nance, Tony Romo, and Tracy Wolfson will, of
Tony?
Course, be on.
Tony?
They will be on the Steelers and the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's just reputation.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I didn't mention a Joe Buck vehicle all day.
Yeah, well, he said you'd get to it.
I only see them listed for the Thursday nighter.
Well, maybe they gave the poor guy a day off.
Possible.
It's a bad slate.
Yeah, they don't have the doubleheader, so.
Sunday night is Al the Greek Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, along with Michelle Tafoya, for the Saints and Tampa Bay. And, of course, your Monday nighter, the Patriots and the Jets.
Boy, ESPN must be thrilled with the Jets and the Giants succeeding weeks on Monday night. That's what you pay $2 billion for.
But, you know, at least they got a great game, the Giant-Buccaneer game. I didn't see the number, Michael, but that was a good game. Went right down to the wire, right?
It was really entertaining. That's true. You really can't be that. And you got Tom Brady. So you got Tom Brady and you got a New York team, and they actually gave you a competitive game. And because the NFC East is so bad, guys, the one upside is we all get to root for teams that stink and still be invested. Like, I'm legitimately amped for Sunday's Washington-New York game. It's a meaningful game. They stink, but it's meaningful. Speaking of stink, let's talk about the Jets for a second, shall we? Mekhi Becton was asked about all the losing he's dealing with during his rookie season.
I hate losing more than I like winning, but I'm an offensive lineman. I got to show up every day, so it don't matter what the scoreboard says. I got to do my 111 no matter what. So that's just my mindset. I'm trying to keep my head down, tunnel vision, and keep blocking the man in front of me every play.
Didn't understand what he said there at the end, but you get the idea.
By the way,
he's focused.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How many million of people watched Giants Bucks?
15
Monday night.
I'll say 17.
No, 11.7 million.
Eesh. Small.
That's not good.
I mean, oh no,
not a great
but it
number.
Says 18 to 49 though, so it's probably higher than that, right?
I only care about the 6+.
I gotta find it then. because that's 18 to 49. I guess that's all anybody cares about. Mike, unfortunately, I think we're out of the demographic of people caring about us, Michael.
No, it's one
we've been for a while.
They still care about you, Don, in the 25 to 54.
I just want to read you a text that I got from Dominic, DVivolo6. Sorry, Kaser had to turn off the radio because of Peter.
But that has nothing to do with...
No. This is the he wrote that at the broadcast segment.
He said he hates the segment that much.
They turned off the radio.
All right. Well, you know, listen, if that's true, and people feel that way, not just him, but more people, I'm not a stubborn person. Now, since I started it, I'll have you know, it went up to near 60% who favor it.
Yeah, so because he's got to do better, Michael. So it ended up that Greek sent it to me, 11.7 million, up 17% year over year.
And
I want to read you another tweet I just got. A tweet. Right. Ready? Okay. From Andrew Marchand, the great Marchand.
No.
And I swear to God, 4 minutes ago, K-Show is breaking down Evan Washburn as a sportscaster. My type of radio. So that's who you're appealing to, the guy who does that for a living.
Well, okay.
But the truck driver who's delivering packages for FedEx said, what is this?
No, see, no, but
wait a minute. It's
here's
the
trick, Don.
The fact that we're doing it and the way we do it. Like somebody could just read that and just go, oh, my, that must be really interesting, riveting radio that they're breaking down Washburn and how good. It was fun, exciting, and great radio.
And Don, furthermore.
And Andrew knows it.
There's another piece to this. The beauty of it is you may not care about who the announcers are, but everyone looks forward to football on Sunday. And RJ, play that music. We could do anything. I could tell you about Bears food.
I got to tell you.
Once you hear this in the background,
see, Michael
it's riveting radio.
Michael hasn't been a fan for a while. Let me just explain something to Michael, Peter, and you'll get this.
Of course I
will. You know how many times growing up, I had a friend that was a Washington fan. I had a friend that was a Viking fan, and another friend that was like a Cardinal fan. I had a bunch of Cowboy friends, right? So we'd all get together, like on a Friday night or Saturday night, and before we can get this kind of information, we'd always be like, I wonder what game Madden Summerall again.
See,
I wonder who's going to do that giant.
All right,
thing.
That
was actually a topic of conversation among fans.
Let's
thank
say.
You. Thank you.
That what you're saying has even a scintilla of validity. Then what Peter should do is take the three games that are going to be broadcast in New York over Sunday and tell us the announcer for them.
No.
We don't care who's doing the game in Kansas.
Everyone has
the
ticket,
we're not
though.
See it. Yeah,
everybody's got the ticket.
I don't have it.
That's because
you're sad. That explains it. That's why you don't get it. That's why you don't have the finger on the pulse of the audience.
Now,
you had a radio and television expert say, that's my type of radio.
So what?
So that means it might not be the average Joe's type of radio.
But it might. But he did. That's just because he likes it doesn't mean other people don't
listen,
like
it's
it.
It's fabulous radio, Michael. I can back it by the fact that 60% of the audience loves it. I knew that they were going to love it.
But you know what? You always say that the 40% are K-Sicka fans or whatever.
That's
the
right.
60% are just anti-whatever I say.
No.
And 100% of them are listening.
Real quick, Al writes us on Twitter, Al Martino, and he wrote, if Rosenberg Radio's impression of Washburn is an attack, then real Michael K doing Tyson is manslaughter.
No, mine's dead on. My Tyson imitation is dead on.
I want to thank you for treating me with respect. People don't do
that. Was me,
and I could see in your eyes you treated me with respect.
Perfect. Nailed it.
The fact that you even uttered the words "treated me with respect" is such disrespect.
Thank you for being that gentleman.
Does he in fact have a slight lisp?
Yes, you made him say like he was tweeting.
When you do an imitation of someone, you highlight parts of what they do. That's what Rich Little once taught me when I took his class at the New School.
He was clearly mocking the people he was imitating.
Wow, I think he's mocking Evan Washburn for no reason.
Love Washburn. Washburn! By the way, they all get the same impression. I give all the vanilla guys the same voice. Chris Myers!
Chris Myers. That is an imitation of Chris Myers.
Thank you. God, nothing gets me more angry than when they give Chris Myers the sideline. When Chris Myers has to get one sideline during the playoff games.
Why does that get you angry?
It's Myers, right?
Yes!
And then they give, and they split it. And then it just seems like such, I mean,
the guy's
on.
A total pro.
Oh, he's great. But guess what? He's a play-by-play guy. They have to give him a sideline.
I'm a play-by-play guy. I can do sidelines.
But you won't because you've got respect.
If somebody offered me an NFL sideline gig and it guaranteed I wouldn't be in cold weather, I'd think about it.
Just for fun.
No, for the whole year.
I think, stop yourself. You would never do such a thing.
You don't know that.
Let's talk about something very interesting that's been a little bit sort of brushed under the rug today, and that would be the rehire of Alex Cora in Boston. Swept away on a Friday while they're deciding the president of the United States. Well, here's Buster Olney on SportsCenter saying the Cora rehire is a no-brainer.
How often in a big market like Boston, where there's so much media scrutiny, do you have the opportunity to hire someone who's been a proven winner, who knows the market, who played in the market, who knows all the members of the media, knowing that if the Red Sox struggle in 2021 under a rookie manager, the scrutiny on the front office would have been unbelievable. So by bringing back Alex Cora now, someone who's known to the fan base, you probably buy a couple of years for the Red Sox to go through some of the rebuilding they're going to have to do.
Let me tell you an Alex Cora story, may I?
Sure.
Please.
Now, Alex used to work for ESPN and then became manager of the Red Sox. So my interaction with him was very infrequent. Hello, very friendly. When I had my throat surgery, okay, out of the blue, he DMs me. He goes, good luck, with an emoji of prayer hands.
Wow.
And then a couple of months later, just checking in, see how you're doing. Great man. Deserves another chance. He did his time. I think the Red Sox, it was a no-brainer.
I agree.
He's a great manager.
No one else got in trouble, so he needs to be punished.
The video guy in Boston got in trouble. He was totally exonerated from any connection to what happened in Boston, which was absolute small potatoes. Nothing compared to what the Astros did. Now he's the one to organize the whole Astro thing, but as the manager of the Red Sox, he didn't do anything wrong. They let him get away because of the distraction it would have caused during 2020 because of his connection to the Astro stuff, but it had nothing to do with the Red Sox stuff. Welcome back, Alex. You're a good man.
Guys, do you know what happened on this day? And there was a lot of other stories today I just didn't get to because I'm running my mouth.
Because you want to announcers.
I love the announcers, though. It's so fun. Canelo Alvarez was released from his Golden Boy contract. How about that?
I love it. Maybe he, you know, it sets up a match between he and De La Hoya.
Oh, my God. Wow. I got to tell you, what a
wrestling
story.
You know why
they
pay me the money, don't you?
Wow. That's why you get the big bucks. What a wrestling storyline that would be if Canelo Alvarez gets out of his deal with Golden Boy, Oscar demands to come back. And the two most beloved, Oscar Mexican-American, Canelo Mexican, have a fight, a battle. The former star of Golden Boy against the owner of Golden Boy.
Oh, I love myself.
And Canelo would crush him, actually crush him. It would be Apollo Creed versus Drago with Jace, in my opinion. However, I'll give you guys a chance to guess the football play that happened on this day 20 years ago. I
so
can't
we're talking
believe.
2000, Don.
I'll give you one hint. Mark Ballard. It could be one of the great moments in Mark Ballard's life. Ballard!
Was that when the replacement official made a bad call against the Packers or made a bad call in favor of the Packers?
No, that was like 2012.
That wasn't that long ago.
Ballard. No,
it landed. It was a Monday night.
Oh, was this the No, that wasn't Favre's
father. Yeah. Nope. It was another Favre Monday night moment. Let's hear it, RJ.
Favre lays it up for Freeman, and it's incomplete. Did he make the catch at the 15?
Yes.
What are they going to roll it? He caught it. Touchdown. He did what?
Love it.
The catch from Antonio Freeman where it looked like the ball was on the ground. It was laying on Freeman.
Look at Al being into it.
Yeah, by the way, that's Don. What a call by you. When was the last time you heard that from Al?
I think because Al had the Packers there.
Well, yeah. It's actually, I got to tell you, it's overtime. The line was 5.5.
Right.
A field goal doesn't do it. A field goal doesn't do it, but Freeman runs in for the cover. And he covers. They win.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.